We are joined by Jeff Terzo of Wired All Wrong. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, thanks for coming on. So, Wired All Wrong, that's you and Matt Mahaffey of Self. Why don't we just start out by talking about how you hooked up with Matt and why you guys felt you need to put an act together?
Well, I actually hooked up with Matt a long time ago. I was a fan of Self, and we just became friends through that sort of crossing paths with my old band Gulls Underwater and his band, and we actually didn't really work together until just a few years ago, and it was almost by accident that we started this. So not that I didn't want to work with him before, but.
So were you just kind of hanging out and
we were social. We were social friends, I would say. I was sort of playing around with some of the early tracks of what would become some of this Wired All Wrong stuff and working with different singers, and then, you know, kind of frustrated, and then just you know, at one point somehow Matt and I hooked up, and I just gave him a copy of a few things, and he brought me one back, and I was blown away. So, and then it was one of those moments, like, why didn't we think of this before?
What were some of the things that were frustrating you when you were, like, you already had in mind that you were ready to start a new musical act, and you were looking for vocalists? What was a quality that you were looking for that you weren't getting from some of these other people?
It just wasn't really inspiring to me. It wasn't like people. I mean, the tracks were, a lot of the tracks were sort of over-programmed, over-chopped, just because I was just always sort of enjoyed making things, sound different, I guess, and I never really found a vocalist that kind of did that too. And I felt like Matt just like got the music right away, got the sort of rhythms and I think we're both just kind of turned on by the same things.
So you were into his music. Was he also familiar with God Lives Underwater and your style of music making?
Yes. Yeah. We've known each other for probably more than 10 years now. So.
Well, that's good. So it's really important, I guess, to be compatible. Especially since it's just the two of you, right?
Yes. Well, now there's five of us.
Oh.
But it's sort of the same situation as Gulls Underwater, where it's two of us that made everything. But now we have a live band, and that's kind of taken on a new life, which I'm really excited about right now.
And how much of this is a collaborative process, and how much of it is, you know, you, Jeff, sort of coming up with the songs and then bringing the lyrics to Matt?
Matt did all the lyrics, so for the most part, I would start the music and give it to him, and then he would do his thing and give it back to me. And that was how we did, you know, the bulk of the album. So I would just sort of do my part at my house and give it to him, and I would, you know, sometimes a few hours later get something back from him that was like, virtually the entire song done, which would just, you know, kind of blow my mind half the time.
I guess that's a new way of making music now. I mean, that seems to be increasingly popular. You didn't really hear about that, you know, 10, 20 years ago. Now you have bands like, you know, like Postal Service, where they don't even meet or hang out. They just send each other music.
Yeah. And I'd say Matt and I really only worked maybe 4 or 5 times together on this.
Wow.
So yeah, but there was a lot of back and forth. Sort of stuff, but like now, I said, a lot of times when I would get the vocals back from him, it would pretty much be, you know, what's on the record.
Wow, that's great. And now you guys are playing live together, so, you know, sort of spending a lot more time together than when you produced the album, huh?
Yes. Yeah, and we have spent a lot of time working together, just not on the Wired All Wrong stuff. We produced an album for the band Hello Goodbye last year, and we've also worked on a few other projects together, producing for other artists. So we have spent a lot of time working together, just not so much on the Wired All Wrong stuff.
Where'd you guys come up with the name Wired All Wrong?
It's just a name that I've had for a while, and it's kind of stuck with the stuff, and
It sounds to me, I mean, it like a sort of a reference to, I don't want to say mental illness, but, you know, dealing with, you know, sort of feeling out of place. And that seemed to be a theme that was in a lot of the God Lives Underwater music, of just sort of not being put together right and not being able to fit in with society.
Right.
Am I catching on to that?
I think that was unintentional for me, but, you know, maybe there's some correlation there, yeah.
How's the response been to the Wired All Wrong sound so far?
It's been great. I mean, I'd say for the amount of sort of limited exposure that we have right now, I mean, it's just still pretty early, I guess. It's been you know, I've been really happy with the way people have gotten into it and responded and sort of encouraged us to push forward here.
Are you getting a lot of your old fans from God Lives Underwater and Matt's old fans from Self sort of coming on board?
Yes, definitely. I'm really surprised how many people know the both of us. You know, when I read online and there's sort of a lot of get excited when someone posts like, "Wow, two of my favorite bands got together."
How long have you been in LA?
I've been here for 12 years.
And has being in L.A. had an effect on the growth of your music? And, like, just L.A. being a very, very heavy on the music scene?
Yeah, it has. I mean, just having this many people around that I work with, you know, it wouldn't be like this if I was back in Philadelphia or, you know, or where I'm from outside Philadelphia, where there's, you know, a half dozen other people that I work with on a semi-regular basis on different things. And I think I've definitely learned a lot from everybody that I work with here, and it's had some impact on what I do. And sometimes it's also negative, like a negative impact on me. Like, well, I think part of the mentality here, especially trying to sustain myself in music, is a lot of just outside production and working, you know, on songs for artists, and I think I forgot about doing my own music and how rewarding it was for part of that time. And, you know, when Matt and I started doing this, it was more casual at first, and it made me realize as we started doing more of the songs and then getting more into it, it made me realize that I had lost, you know, this part of just, you know, making music not for, you know, not to please an artist and a producer and an A&R guy and the A&R guy's boss,
right?
Which is what it had been, you know, just like making something for the sake of making it again because I like it and because Matt and I liked it.
So it's sort of like getting your musical wings back.
Exactly, and I think I relearned that too.
Well, that's good to sort of get another chance to sort of feel good about music. I think God Lives Underwater ended on a very sad note in more ways than one. Obviously, with David Reilly's passing suddenly, that must have had. I was wondering what kind of effect. Obviously, that had a personal effect on you as your friend, but I was wondering what kind of effect that might have had on you as a musician and the way you relate to music.
I mean, just all, you know, Dave and my history together was definitely, you know, definitely had way more of an impact on me musically than anything. I mean, just for the sheer length of time, but also, like, you know, David was like the first person that I met that, you know, could play anything. He'd just name something and he could play it, name an instrument, name a song, whatever. And that was like, that was really inspiring because up until that point in when I was in high school, I was just, you know, I had my keyboard and I was, you know, sort of doing a little bit of programming and learning Depeche Mode songs or whatever. But that kind of opened my eyes to, like, you know what, we can just do whatever we want. We can do anything. And I watched David do it and you know, and I think that started a huge, you know, a huge epiphany for me, like, you know, up until the time he passed away, you know, we still, with the exception of, you know, a few sort of down times, we still kept in contact pretty mm-hmm. regularly, and I think the past couple of years, the greatest thing that I had going with Dave was that he was still so excited about new music coming out, mm-hmm. and he would still like just call me like giddy, like a teenager, like, you got to hear this band. Oh my God, have you heard this yet? And none of my other friends here were like that.
Yeah, there's definitely a sort of deadening effect if you work in the music industry and it's just like more music just keeps coming out, and you can sort of tell the difference between the musicians who get really excited. You can see the light in their eyes when they find that some new album that really, really turns them on, or the other kind of musician who's just like, you know, they just keep making music and they're just... it's not even musical to them anymore, you know, it's just sounds in an order to please some label or something.
Exactly. And he was also that, you know, he would get that excited about, you know, his own new songs too. Like, oh my gosh, I got another song, you gotta check it out. And it's just like, yeah, that's rare here.
Yeah.
And I think.
Now, Up Off the Floor, the last album you did as God Lives Underwater, kind of came and went without too many people really, really noticing. It was a little bit different from the synth-heavy work you'd done before. It was much, much more guitar-laden, and it seemed to have, like you were saying before, that God Lives Underwater is a little... the themes were a little bit more serious than what you're doing with Wired All Wrong. It was definitely this heavy, you know, angry, heartbroken themes of tragedy and loss. Was that coming primarily from... a lot of the tragic things that David had gone through and that was coming into his writing?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a rough time. And the release, you know, the album never had a proper release, which kind of bummed us out. You know, it came out years later through this, you know, European label that I don't even quite fully understand. And the version they released on it, like MP3s, and it was just like one thing after another that just made us all kind of, you know, someday hopefully it will get a proper release, and there was talk of like a real version of it, but...
Well, I mean, it's got to be like a collector's item at any rate. I mean, I remember when I found it at Amoeba, and I was just, you know, flipping through the regular groups I flipped through, and yours happened to be one of them, and I was like, what is this new album?
Yeah.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
It was a bummer. It was, and we had no control over it at that point, because it was like, it had changed hands two times. But yeah, I mean, honestly, the point right before that album, or the start of that album, you know, we pretty much had broken up. Dave and I were done with working together.
He was already working on his solo album, and
he was working, and he really kind of hit a very low point there, and you know, if we kind of proceeded each in our own direction, and then he kind of ended up just having to make amends basically with not just me, but just with everyone in his life, and try and get his life on track again. And as he did that, you know, we kind of got back into making songs, and then
up off the floor, as it were.
Yeah, and then it was like, well, we might as well. We had, you know, the start of an album, and we thought we should finish it. And we hooked up with Sean Bevan and slowly put together an album. And it was full. It was fun. It was a fun experience because it was with Scott and Drew, the other guys in the band. But it was a dark time too. So or coming out of a dark time too. So. You know, as fun as it was working with the musicians all together and stuff, the dark themes were there, you know, and real.
Like, right.
All the stuff he was talking about was really happening. So.
Yeah, I know he suffered some awful personal tragedies during that time.
Yeah.
But 6 years before that, 98, much happier times, you guys had Life in the So-Called Space Age. You had the From Your Mouth single with popular video and everything. Did you guys feel like you were on top of something big at that point?
I don't know that it, we felt if, like it was something big, but I think we felt that it was something that we were proud of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we just knew we had our we had people that got it, and I think that's all we needed, just some supporters.
And before that, you had Empty, which was a much loved album, and the thing that got me hooked off the top was the God Lives Underwater EP, which had those six tracks of songs that just no one in my circle anyway had heard anything like that. And No More Love was just this addictive song you could listen to over and over and over again. Tell me about putting together that first EP and releasing it on the world, and the kind of reaction that you got.
That was pretty much our demos. The EP. I was in another band. I sort of left Philadelphia for a while and was in another band. And David was doing stuff on his own. And we kind of, I talked about quitting the band I was in for a few months. And Dave and I kind of schemed on what we could, you know, how, that we should get something new together, and kind of planned it out and got together for a weekend and did a song, and we're really into it. And then I quit my band, and then we just kind of became a band instantly. Like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to just keep making songs. And No More Love was actually a pre-existing song that he had.
Oh, yeah?
And I thought it was a great song, and he had recorded it once before, but sort of a different, more rocked up version of it. And I think it was a couple songs into what we were doing, I just took the song and redid the music.
Made it your own.
Yeah.
Sound.
Yeah. I just, without even really like telling him, I think I did it. And I was like, check this out. And, he was just like, you know, really into it then, like, wow, this is great. And then he sort of got into the verses of it, and made the verses really spacey. And then at that point, we just realized, like, we can just do this. And we just kept making songs. And then once we had the six songs, we hooked up with Gary Richards out in California. Dave and I were still in Philly, and eventually signed to Deaf American with Gary and Rick Rubin, and the demos became the EP, basically.
Well, that was actually my next question, is who is this Gary Richards character? He's been a supporter of your music, looks like from the beginning, and he runs Nitrous.
Yeah, he was. We first met him. He worked at American. Actually, he was called Techno Boy at American. Because he was like a DJ, and he put on raves back then in the early 90s, and at the time Rick Rubin was really getting into techno music, so he hired Gary as his techno boy, he called him. And a friend of ours in Philly was this DJ named Josh Wink, and he was friends with Gary through that scene, through the rave scene, and Josh really liked the Gulls Underwater stuff that we were working on, and was like, you know, I got some friends at labels that I think would get this. And he sent it to Gary, and Gary called us right away.
So I guess it was through Gary that you ended up doing those remixes for the Ravac Messiah?
Yep. They were signed to American at the time. So, that's how we hooked up with that. And Gary did a lot of, you know, Gary had brought the label XL, which was home to Prodigy and a few other bands. I can't remember at the time. Prodigy was probably their biggest thing. Messiah was an XL band, I believe, too. But so he brought XL to American. So he did some cool things. He brought some really cool music to American. But he eventually quit his job with the label and became our manager. And he's been, you know, we've worked together ever since.
Now, he also had you guys do an incredible cover of Fly on the Windscreen by Depeche Mode for the Depeche Mode tribute album.
Yes.
What was it like doing, a cover for a tribute for a band that was obviously a heavy influence on your music from the beginning?
Well, Dave and I actually came up with the concept of that record.
Oh, really?
And then Gary, we got Gary involved, and Gary kind of took over and made it all, put it all together. That was always like one of David and my favorite bands, and probably the most influential band for us.
Did you feel like there was some pressure to make sure it was a really good cover, because it was for a band that you really respected?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot of pressure, but it was also we were trying to pick the, we were choosing the bands to work on it, and we were doing a lot of different things at once, so it was almost I think we had probably worked up a couple different ones, but we were also dealing with what other bands were going to do those songs as well, so
right.
And that's how that's the first time we had Matt work on something. That's how we got Self involved with that.
Oh.
So Matt Self did a Shame on that album.
Now, back to Wired All Wrong. Where are you guys playing out live? So you've only done, I know you've done at least one show in LA.
We've done a couple shows. We did a little warm-up show, and then we played this Detour Festival, which was downtown LA with Basement Jacks and Beck and Queens of the Stone Age.
Wow.
And it was actually a great event, great festival downtown. They blocked off a few blocks, and hopefully they'll do it again.
Was that really inspiring for you as an artist to be around these other successful musicians and sort of feel like you were back in the loop? Maybe you'd been out of it for a little bit?
Yeah, it was, definitely. I mean, it was just felt so great to play.
And you've been getting some radio play also. You guys were on Indie 103 recently. Was that a positive experience for you?
It was. We kind of worked up a alternate version of a song, it was a good time. I think we always dreaded those experiences before with Goblins in the Water.
Uh-huh.
Sort of get out the bongos and the acoustic guitar thing.
Right.
We were always pressured to try and do, and this time we did it with keyboards and a little drum kit and a delay pedal, so it was cool. It was fun.
Awesome. So do you have a lot more gigs coming up in the future?
We'll definitely have some more around here, around Los Angeles, in before the end of the year, and then we've planning stuff for next year, sort of all over.
And do you see Wired All Wrong as being now an LA-based band?
For now, it is. For now, but I can't say.
It could take you anywhere, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you before I let you go. I really appreciate you giving me all this time to talk to you. Just your very early influences. I always ask everyone on my show, what went wrong in your life that made you want to go into music? What was the thing the very first time you picked up a keyboard or something like, or whatever your very first instrument was that made you think, this is the way I'm best going to be able to express myself is through this sound?
I think, like, in terms of, I remember I had a couple records that I just listened to in my headphones, and it was, I had the Cars, and I had... I'm totally drawing a blank. What's the Hold Me Now? What's that band? Thompson Twins.
Okay.
And I just remember listening to those records in headphones, and it was just so stereo and so cool, and it just felt like you're in the studio with these people, and I think that's what got me into the keyboards. Like, I just wanted to make things sound like that, and that was it.
And did you just teach yourself, or you just started taking lessons, or?
Pretty much. I played a little piano when I was younger with a teacher, but nothing that really amounted to anything. But the one thing that helped me, I guess, was I was always into computers too. So I've really been doing it like the way I'm doing it the whole time I've been into music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since I was in ninth grade, I've been doing music with some sort of programming. So I've used before version 1.0 of it, all the software that's out.
Right.
So it's just I've always been into both those things.
You had a solo project for a short period called Mass Hysteria, right?
Yes.
And you had an EP, which I understand is now a collector's item.
Yeah, I don't even think I have a copy of it.
Well, I can lend you mine.
Those were just some fun tracks that I had around, and we had the label at the time, or Gary had the label through A&M, and he said, hey, we should put these out because they're fun.
So Wired All Wrong is getting more and more exposure. You were featured on CSI Miami recently. Yeah, you've been on the radio. You just released your album. How far do you think you're going to take it? Where do you see Wired All Wrong as a band sort of fitting in the grand scheme of things? Cover Rolling Stones or cult favorite? Where do you see it in your mind's eye?
That's hard to say. I know what we're going to do. I don't know where it's going to take us, but I know Matt and I are already starting to work on a new album and we'll, you know, release that next year, and we'll play a fair amount of shows next year. And, you know, and beyond that, I don't know, but as long as it stays, you know, inspiring and fun like it has been, then I think we're going to be doing it for a while.
Yeah, well, that's definitely the most important thing. Where can people get more information on Wired All Wrong? You have a website up?
We have the MySpace is the most updated place. So it's myspace.com/wiredallwrong. One word.
Man, I'm afraid one day they're just going to pull the rug out from under us.
I felt that since the
beginning.
Also
dependent on it.
Yep. But, you know, we're slowly getting our website updated too. So.
Cool. All right. Well, so
that's
people
wiredallwrong.net.
All right, so people should check out myspace.com/wiredallwrong, wiredallwrong.net for more information. Jeff, thanks so much for taking the time to come on the show and talk to me about your music. It's been
thanks
a big
for
inspiration. Take care, man.
You too.
We were just talking to Jeff Turzo of God Lives Underwater and Wired All Wrong. Thanks for tuning in to Is Good on killradio.org. I've got a little surprise track for you that I downloaded from their website. Hopefully that will play. This was their little acoustic performance when they were on Indie 103. Don't tell Indie 103, it's a secret. Again, you've been listening to Is Good. My guest was Jeff Turzo of Wired All Wrong.
Way, not so long ago, there was a town we did not know. We had a call and begging us to go. It was the strangest thing, but what did we know? Now I realize I was so wrong. Like the multitude of fools I live among, they all wanna be starting something. They're talking loud, saying nothing. I'm the owner of a smoking gun, but Los Angeles needs is a revolution. You better make some money. You better make some money. You better.